This is Bill Goodwin speaking for Lever Brothers, makers of Swan, the new white floating soap. Well, it's Tuesday night again. Time for another pleasant visit with George Burns and Gracie Allen, their guests, Charles Lawton, Jimmy Cash, and Paul Whiteman and his music. And now meet the people who live in the Burns house, George and Gracie. Well, this is a time of important meetings. In Casablanca, Roosevelt and Churchill. In Washington, the 78th Congress. And in the library of the Burns home, the Beverly Hills Uplift Society. And here comes George, blissfully unaware of what's going on, and Gracie waiting to make sure he doesn't find out.
Good morning, sweetheart.
Oh, good morning, dear. My, you're up bright and early this morning.
Yeah, I woke up and couldn't get back to sleep, so I figured I might as well get up.
Oh, so that's it. I was wondering what you were doing up at this hour. It's only 11:30.
Well, some mornings I just can't sleep. I'm going into the library and look at the paper.
Oh, wait, George, wait.
Yes?
Look, it's such a beautiful day. Why don't you take a walk?
A walk? What for?
Well, it would be fun. Why don't you walk down to the corner of the cigar store and whistle at the girl for a while?
Gracie, I haven't... Are you out of... Have you gone out of your mind? I haven't done that in all my life.
Well, you're not getting any younger, dear.
Look, I'm going into the library.
Oh, no, wait. I've got it. Why don't you go fishing?
Go fishing?
Well, sure. Go out to the lake and catch a fish and broil it right there. It'll be delicious. I'll go and get your fishing pole and a slice of lemon.
Gracie, I'm not leaving the house. I'm going into the library right now. Gracie.
Now, George, don't get excited.
I told you, if I ever caught those buzzards here again, I'd squeeze the hen a rinse out.
George, this is the most important meeting of the year. Today is our club election, and Francis Fowler, Vicky Gruskin, and I are all running for president.
Oh, so you've got some competition, huh?
Well, I don't mind competition. I always say, may the best girl win. But what if I lose?
I hope so.
Oh, Francis and Vicky have been putting on marvelous campaigns.
I'll bet.
Whenever the meeting was held at one of their homes, they had some big celebrity and a special guest.
I see, a big celebrity.
Yes,
huh?
And I must admit the girls were awfully impressed.
Mm.
But who wouldn't be impressed meeting Myron Fudnick?
Myron Fudnick?
Yes.
That's a big celebrity?
Well, of course. Myron Fudnick is the first man who ever thought of putting garters on girdles.
Well, I must get Myron's autograph.
And then Vicky had even a bigger celebrity at her house.
Bigger than Fudnick?
Lily Mae Browning.
Who?
Lily Mae Browning.
Who's she?
The famous poetess, of course. She's written four lovely things. Love at First Sight, Whirlwind Courtship, Honeymoon for Two, and Old Beautiful Reno.
She's probably working on one now called Alimony, I Love You.
Oh, oh, but just wait till they see the celebrity I have. He's more important than anyone they ever
well,
thought
whoever
of.
Well, whoever he is, I wouldn't want to be in his shoes. Goodbye, dear. I think I'll go and whistle at the girl.
Oh, goodbye, dear. Oh, now, come to order, girls. Come to order, please. Now, before we start our regular meeting, I'd like to read a letter from Maggie Ettinger, our former member who joined the WAC.
Oh, how is she, Gracie?
She says, dear girls, I am writing to tell you what a wonderful organization this is, and also to remind you that the WACs need many more recruits who can fill important non-combat jobs and release more officers and men of the Army for combat duty.
Oh, well, yes, I knew that.
Our work includes every type of non-combat service, from accounting and cooking to stenography and radio operating. And we receive the same pay as enlisted men and officers in the Army. All women between 21 and 44 who do not have children under 14 are eligible for the WAC. If you know any women who are interested, tell them to go to the nearest Army recruiting and induction station and sign up now. Love to all, Maggie.
Oh, that's lovely.
Wonderful. You know, girls, I might sign up myself.
Oh, you couldn't, Gracie. You're married.
Well, that doesn't make any difference, Blanche.
It does if you have someone financially dependent on you.
Financially dependent. Oh, yes. I forgot the May Company.
Hi, Gracie. I was looking for George. Oh, I beg your pardon. I didn't know a meeting was going on.
That's all right, Bill. Girls, you remember Bill Goodman, don't you? Bill, we've been talking about the WAC. We'd all like to join, but most of us aren't eligible.
I'm eligible, Bill. You think I'd make a good WAC?
Well, I don't know, Tootsie. Isn't each WAC supposed to release a soldier for combat duty?
Yes.
Well, I just can't imagine you releasing a soldier.
Bill.
See, girls, it's really too bad you can't qualify for the Women's Auxiliary Army Corps, but I'll tell you what. I may be able to get you in the Smart Women's Anti-Nuisance Society.
The Smart Women's Anti-Nuisance Society?
Yes, that's right, Gracie. The SWANS, the Swans.
Bill! Why, that's the same name as that soap you talk about. You know, Swan.
Well, I'll be doggone. It is, isn't it? You know, it fits, too, because all the members use Swan, the new white floating soap that's purer than the finest Castiles, the regular suds and whiz, too.
Oh, Bill, aren't you happy that I called it to your attention?
Well, Tootsie, I'm so happy I could just grab you and give you a great big bar of Swan. Swan, you know, is great for washing the dishes because it not only gives you suds faster than other white floating soaps, but since Swan is purer than the finest Castiles, it's kind to your hands, too. That's why you should use it for every soap and water job.
Bill, I've got Swan in my hope chest. I hope you're the one who shares it with me.
Well, I'd love to, Tootsie. After you're married, you and your husband send me my half. You see, Swan breaks in two with a simple twist of the wrist, you know. You can use half in the kitchen for dishes and housework, and the other half in the bathroom for your hands and face. Well, girls, tell George I'll be back. And congratulations on becoming members of the Swans.
Oh, you're sort of crazy about Bill, aren't you, Tootsie?
Yes, we're sweethearts.
Has he ever proposed?
Oh, dozens of times. I wish he'd propose to me sometime.
Oh, dear, someone's at the door and George isn't here. Will you excuse me, girl?
All right, Gracie. Right, all right, go ahead, Gracie.
Oh, my, I hope this is my important celebrity. Oh, the girls will be so thrilled.
Good morning, Mrs. Burns.
Oh, it's the postman. How are you, Mr. Postman?
Never better, Mrs. Burns. I've been drinking in the fresh air through every pore. Gee, it's great to be alive.
You always enjoy life, don't you, Mr. Postman?
I should say I do, and perfect health is the answer. I've got the constitution of an ox.
Oh, how nice. Is there any mail for me?
Yes, a special delivery letter.
Oh, let me see it. Oh, it's from my celebrity. Dear Mrs. Burns, but he regrets that he cannot appear at the meeting of the Beverly Hills Uplift Society, as he has been very busy at the White House since his return from Casablanca. Therefore, he cannot address your club on the subject you chose for him, Africa, the land of enchantment. Oh, dear, and I was counting on him.
I'm sorry about the bad news, Mrs. Burns, but I've got to be running along now. I've got lots of fan mail to deliver down the street to Charles Lawton.
Charles Lawton? Charles Lawton! He's a celebrity, and I know him, too. Oh, Mr. Postman, you've given me a wonderful idea. Now I'll be elected after all.
That's me, always scattering sunshine.
Goodbye, Mr. Postman.
Well, goodbye, Mrs. Burns. And remember, keep smiling.
This is Paul Whiteman. The boys and the Six Hits and a Miss introduce you to a gal you're going to be seeing more and more of. She's Rosie the Riveter.
All the day long, whether rain or shine, she's a part of the assembly line. She's making history, working for victory. Rosie the Riveter keeps a sharp lookout for sabotage. Sitting up there on the fuselage, that little thrill can do more than a mare can do. Rosie, the Riveter, Rosie's got a boyfriend, Charlie. Charlie, he's a Marine. Rosie is protecting Charlie, working overtime on the riveting machine. When they gave her a production ease, she was as proud as a girl could be. There's something true about red, white, and blue about Rosie. She's got the fellas going.
So Gracie asked the girls to wait and hurried over to Charles Lawton's house to get him as the guest for her club meeting. The door is opened by a person wearing a frilly white apron.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Lawton. Is Charles here?
Mrs. Lawton, I am Mr. Lawton.
Oh, my goodness, Charles. What a silly mistake. I've forgotten that your wife is small and thin.
Yes, and furthermore, her pants never show beneath the bottom of her apron.
Would you mind telling me what you're doing with that apron on?
Not at all. I'm dusting, sweeping, cooking dinner, and in my spare moments, cursing the day I was born.
Oh. Helping your wife, huh?
My wife isn't here. In fact, she hasn't been home for 5 minutes since she joined some infernal, idiotic woman's club.
You don't like women's clubs?
No. Do you know what I'd like to do to all wives who belong to clubs?
No.
I'd like to make them run between two long lines of husbands. And if they ran, the husbands would beat them over the head with the minutes of the last meeting.
Oh.
Well, what did you want to see me about, Gracie?
Oh, me?
Yeah, come along, out with it.
Oh, well, I want you to come over to my house.
Why?
Well, George. Yeah, that's it. Something's wrong with George.
But everyone knows that. Can't you be more definite?
Well, yes. George is stage struck.
Stage struck? At his age?
Yes. He goes around all day reciting Shakespeare.
How revolting. What sort of Shakespeare does he recite?
Well, his favorite speech is one that goes, "But like who softly breaks the window yonder? I'm from the East and Juliet is my son."
Yes. that's a little bit off, Gracie. The correct line is, "But soft what light through yonder window breaks? It is the East and Juliet is the sun."
But that doesn't make any sense. Oh.
Would you mind just taking my word for it, mine and Shakespeare's? But why have you come to me with your problem, Gracie? What could I possibly do?
Well, I thought it might cure George if I got some actor over to the house who could recite Shakespeare better than he can.
Well, that shouldn't be difficult. Have you tried Harpo Marx?
Well, no. But I want someone who's even better than Harpo Marx. I want you.
I'm sorry, but I'm much too busy with my housework.
Well... All right. Poor George. He'll just have to go through life thinking he's a better actor than you are.
He thinks what?
He thinks he's a better actor than you are.
The man is obviously mad.
Oh, sure.
Any man who claims to be a better actor than another is nothing but a ham. I'm 10 times the actor he is.
Well, of course you and show him up?
Will I? I'll make him sound like the end man in an Elk Club minstrel show.
Oh, and I'll have some of the women from the neighborhood in to watch you do it. Mm-hmm. Oh, I know a great actor works better in front of an audience, and especially an actor as great as you are.
Yes, of course. I'll be over as soon as I've made the bed, sir.
Gracie, Charles Laughton is coming over here? You mean Charles Laughton, the movie star?
Oh, George, there's only one Charles Laughton. Although when you look at him, it does seem like there's more.
Well, my estimation of that guy has gone down 100%. Accepting an invitation to talk to that silly woman's club.
Well, George Burns, you apologize for that remark.
Okay, I take it back about them being women.
Well, that's that.
Well, I'm getting out of here. I can't watch that.
Oh, no, you have to stay. Well, he's really coming over to see you.
To see me?
Yes. He thinks that you could be the greatest actor in Hollywood.
What?
Well, that's right. He says that you never should have given up acting for what you're doing now.
I wonder how he meant that.
Oh, well, he thinks you have the makings of a great actor. Well, he's dying to hear you recite a little Shakespeare.
Well, I'll be done.
Yeah, well, he thinks you're wonderful.
Oh, gee. Oh, Charlie ought to know. Mighty shrewd judge of talent, that boy. That's what he said, huh?
Uh-huh, yeah. He'd like to see you playing Romeo or King Lear or Portia, one of those parts.
Portia? Portia is a woman.
Oh, he thinks you can do anything.
He does, huh?
Yes. Oh, that must be Mr. Laughton. Now, George, be sure to act for him. Do that Shakespearean line about the light breaking through the window. I'll go into the meeting.
All right. Come in.
Hello, George.
Hello, Charlie. But soft. What light through yonder window breaks? It is the east, and Juliet is the sun.
What, may I ask, was that?
That was something out of Shakespeare.
His appendix, no doubt.
You didn't think I did it well?
George, I think you have all the fire, all the feeling, all the emotional intensity of a plate of tapioca pudding.
Don't you think I'm a great actor?
Yes, you're the new Porky Pig.
Oh.
So you consider yourself in my class as an actor? Why, I have all the conceit of all the unmitigated...
No, wait a minute.
Burns, you're an idiot. If there's one thing I can't stomach, it's an idiot.
Well, brother, if you can't stomach it with what you've got, nobody can.
My stomach happens to be my business.
Well, you happen to have a mighty big business.
Is that so?
Yeah, that's so in spades.
You don't say.
I do say.
Yes, you.
Yes, that's all.
Now Jimmy Cash singing, There Are Such Things.
A heart that's true, there are such things. A dream for two, there are such things. Someone to whisper, darling, my guiding star, not caring what you own, but just what you are, a peaceful sky. There are the things, a rainbow high, where heaven sings. So have a little faith and trust in what tomorrow brings. You'll reach a star.
Charlie, will you listen to me? I'm telling you, for the 50th time, I never said I was a better actor than you are.
I'm a modest man, George. I'm a very modest man, but I'm honest. And I'm forced to admit that this isn't a better actor than I am.
Well, okay, you're marvelous, you're wonderful, you're magnificent.
I knew you'd begin to see it my way, George. Now, let's talk about you.
Yeah, okay, okay. I'm awful. I'm horrible. I'm terrible. I'm the worst actor who ever lived.
Well, go on. You're on the right track.
Look, Charlie.
Hey, George. I dropped by before, but you... Gee, Charles Lawton in the flesh.
What else would you expect me to be? Who are you?
Well, I'm Bill Goodwin, Mr. Lawton. I'm in pictures, an actor, just like you.
Another one. What is this? A house or a branch of Swift and Company? Your friend Burns here has been bruising the bard with but soft what light through yonder window breaks.
Well, you see, George doesn't know how to do it, Mr. Lawton. Now, just get a load of this. But soft. What sud through yonder bathtub break? Ah, 'tis Swan, the new white floating soap. That's purer than the finest Castiles. Money can't not buy a purer soap. Youch. Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou Romeo? Art thou bathing the baby with Swan? Swan, you know, art great for bathing the baby. It's so pure that it's kind to even a baby's tender skin. So naturally, it must be swell for your hands and face. Your tub or shower, Romeo.
This will set the theater back 500 years.
So friends, mothers, and housewives, lend me your ears. Women have long considered Castile soaps the standard of purity, but Swan is even purer than the finest Castiles. And now, farewell.
Farewell.
Farewell. Parting is such sweet sorrow. And I... and I would say, bye, Swan, ere it be morrow. Well, that's that, fellas. Just washed up Shakespeare. Goodbye.
What a ham.
You're a fine one to talk about hams, coming over here to talk to that silly woman's club.
Woman's club? Are you mad? I wouldn't address a woman's club for the entire output of the Florsheim factory. I detest women's clubs.
Then why did you come over?
Because your wife told me you were stage struck.
Stage struck? Charlie, Gracie brought you over here to make a speech for her club so that she could be elected president.
She did that after all I've been through at home. George, I'll make that speech, and when I get through, there'll be one less woman's club.
Well, do you think you can?
Can I? I'll make a speech so hot it'll melt the rubber out of their girdles.
Well, I'll tell them you're ready. Oh, boy, no more Beverly Hills Upper Society. Gracie, your guest Charles Lawton is ready.
Charles Lawton? Oh, yes, girls, I knew you'd be thrilled. George, tell him you'll be ready in a minute. Now, you're going to see some marvelous acting, girls, because Mr. Lawton is one of the finest actors ever to board the trod. Oh, whatever they do. He'll probably recite one of Shakespeare's beautiful poems like The Shooting of Dan Macbeth.
Mr. Lawton is English, isn't he, Gracie?
Oh, yes, yes. And let's try to make him feel at home, girls. We'll serve him his tea with a trumpet. You know, like they do in England. Unless, of course, he preferred with a tram.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea.
All right, we're ready now. I'll call him. Mr. Lawton, right this way, please.
Coming.
Now, girls, I want you to meet a man who is much more important than Myron Fudnick. My celebrity. Mr. Charles Lawton, who will perform for us.
My dear Bats. Never before has it been my misfortune to address so gruesome a collection of ponies. The combined stupidity of your faces could only be found in a club such as this or in a colony of tired old pelicans.
Isn't he wonderful? What a natter. He almost makes you believe that he means those things.
But I do mean them. It is my heartfelt opinion that this ghastly little band of frumps is more dangerous to the progress of mankind than the boll weevil or the zoot suit. Really, my good witches, I am not trying to amuse you. I loathe you. You revolt me. Oh, nuts, I quit.
I don't know how to thank you, Charles. Now, girls, while the thrill of my celebrity visit is still fresh in our minds, shall we vote on our club president?
Go ahead.
Well, just write your choice on a slip of paper, and I want to say in advance that this is going to be the happiest moment of my life. I thank you.
Here are the ballots, Gracie.
Oh, good. Oh, now, the first ballot is for... Oh, my goodness. Oh, my... Oh, well, I guess it's unanimous.
Naturally.
Yes, Charles.
Yes, Grace. Yes.
I'm a good loser, and I want to wish you every success as the new president of our club. It's the voice of the people, and we'll meet at your house next week.
Now, listen, you misguided scarecrows. I don't want to go in there.
George and Grace, you'll be right back, so I've just time to remind you that you save money with Swan, because when you use Swan, you don't have to buy any other soap at all. In the kitchen, for dishes, and for general cleaning, Swan does the work of easily wasted package soaps. And in the bathroom, for your face and hands, Swan gives you more soap per penny than any leading toilet soap tested. And at the same time, gives you a soap that's purer than the finest Castiles. So get help, get Swan. Well, here they are again, George and Gracie.
Well, Gracie, who's going to be the president of your club now that Charles Lawton walked out on you?
Oh, well, I will, dear. I'm bringing a celebrity to the next meeting who's sure to win the election for me. George, I've got Winston.
Winston Churchill?
No, Winston Sudnick. My
Myron
brother.
Gubber. Oh, the fool.
The makers of Swan, the new white floating soap, join George and Gracie in inviting you to tune into your CBS station again next week, same time, when their guest will be Veronica Lake. Remember, George Burns and Gracie Allen, CBS next Tuesday night. And don't forget to listen to Swan's other show, Tommy Riggs and Betty Lou, every Friday night over another network. And now till next week, this is Bill Goodwin saying, well, I, Swan, how about you? Good night.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
KNX, Columbia Square, Los Angeles.